Father, we thank you so much for meeting with us this morning, Lord. We ask that you just open our hearts to what it is you would have us learn today, Lord. We know you have us here for a reason. Just let us leave here knowing what that reason is, God. We thank you, and we ask this in Jesus Christ's heavenly name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Charles, and singers and musicians. God bless you for leading us in this time of worship and praise together. Open your Bibles, please, to the New Testament epistle of the Holy Spirit through the pen of the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. And I want you to open to the first chapter of the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthian letter. And I want to remind you, as we get ready to read some of the verses here, what the setting is. Corinth was a secular city. Corinth was what we would call a carnal city. It was reeking with all kinds of temples to everything of the flesh. And when Paul has done ministry there and is now writing back to the Corinthians, you will notice that he does not deal with those things so much as he deals with the need in the church for the people to be of the right spirit. And in the first verses of Corinthians, after the introduction, he says to them, "I'm concerned that I hear that there are divisions among you, that you've been divided. Some of you say, well, I'm of Paul, and others of I'm of Apollos, and some of I'm of Cephas or Peter." In other words, you're picking out your favorite preacher, your favorite, quote, Christian celebrity, end of quote, and you're being divided because of your allegiance to that one or those ones. And so Paul makes it very, very clear to them that it's not about those leaders, it's about Jesus. It's not about being disciples of the preacher, it's about being disciples of Jesus. And then down in verse 17, he says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void." So Paul gives a little testimony right there in verse 17 of what he's about to tell them is to be their attitude in the following verses. Paul is testifying that he himself does not preach in a way as to try to tie people on to him or make himself their favorite preacher, as it were. He came to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to bring people to faith and trust in following Jesus. Now, beginning at verse 18, he speaks a passage that I like to title Christianity, the Order of the Ordinary. The order of the ordinary, or the fellowship of the commonplace, if you please, or the normal, or the usual individuals. "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, that same word is the power of God. For it is written," and this is a quote from Isaiah, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside." So Paul asked the question, where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, then God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Or that so-called foolishness of the message preached. And here's how he defines that so-called foolishness. "For indeed, Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, the elect of God, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren. There were not many," now he didn't say not any, "but not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty according to the flesh, not many noble according to the flesh. But God has chosen the foolish," or that which the world calls foolish things, "to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world